catching up with Lindsay this morning. Lindsay Henson, Executive Director of Lawyers Against Abuse. It's an important time of the year for us. Welcome to the show, Lindsay. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Important time of the year. We're just saying on air that it's something that should be top of mind every day. But you know what? Hey, we'll take the 16 days to shed light on it, to put massive headlights on this issue. Firstly, just about you. You studied, where are you from?
I'm from the United States, yeah. And I studied, I'm a lawyer by training from Harvard Law School.
From Harvard? Nice. Where in the States are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles originally.
Oh, why are you here? How long have you been in South Africa?
Just over 3 years now.
Okay, great. So Lawyers Against Abuse.
Yes.
A group of lawyers situated...
So we run a center in Diepsloot, actually. So it's an informal settlement north of Johannesburg. And it's not just lawyers. So the name is a little bit deceiving. So it's a team of lawyers and therapists and social workers that all come together to provide an integrated response to gender-based violence there.
Why specifically that area?
So when we were looking for kind of the community to launch our pilot center, we were trying to find a place that obviously had a need for our services, so where you had high incidence rates and a lack of those kinds of services in the community. And unfortunately, we found both of these to be quite true in Diepsloot. So it's a highly populated community with incredibly high prevalence rates of domestic violence and sexual violence. And before LVA started working there, there were no organizations providing a specific, you know, specific targeted legal services and psychosocial support there.
The occurrence of that kind of abuse is apparently much higher there.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there was a study done by a team of researchers from Wits University, and they found that the self-reported data that 56% of the men that they'd surveyed admitted to committing some form of violence against a woman in the previous 12 months. And of those, 60% of them had admitted multiple instances of violence. And so we see that even though South Africa has very high prevalence rates, even those numbers are twice, you know, the average in other parts of the country.
And these are people living in abject poverty. So
yeah, often the majority of people, or most people in Diepsloot, there is a range, but yeah. A lot of people, there are very high levels of poverty.
So in a practical level, I mean, people like that means that they don't really have access to simple things like a phone call, get to the nearest clinic,
So you have a resource constraint. So people maybe don't even have the taxi fare to be able to go to the courts. And so that's something that LVA will provide as well. If you actually can't afford to go to the court to apply for a protection order or to pursue a criminal case, then LVA will just, in a very practical way, assist people with that transport fare. But on top of that, we provide free legal services. So you have lawyers based in the community who assist with protection orders, who will support victims all the way through pursuing a criminal case, working with the police, working with prosecutors, going to the trial, really end-to-end comprehensive support. While at the same time, they're working closely with therapists who are able to provide and address the client's emotional, psychological, and mental needs as well.
That's comprehensive. That's really cool.
Historically, I mean, I've worked a lot with kids. And I found that you're usually the first person to hear of abuse in the school. That is the one place. Do you have that relationship with them? Because I feel like a lot of the teachers are not trained to deal with what these kids are going through.
Yeah, so in addition to our services that we provide, we have a community engagement team that's out in the community every day. And one of the community engagement initiatives is actually working in the schools, so both primary schools and secondary schools. And so we're trying to do workshops with teachers and school management so that, exactly to address the issue you've identified, that they know how to respond to disclosure properly, but also to create awareness around the learners. Because, you know, in South Africa has some of the highest rates of child abuse really anywhere in the world. And so we have, I mean, our clients at LVA are as young as 4 years old. 4 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, tragically. It's incredibly important for them to get both of, you know, that psychological intervention as well.
So in studio this morning, joining us from Lawyers Against Abuse is Lindsay Henson, Executive Director of this organization. They're doing incredible work in the Diepsloot area, well, here in South Africa. Lindsay herself from LA, studied at Harvard, and decided to come to South Africa. Why was it important for you to come here, though? What drew you here?
So when I went to law school, I was already focused on addressing issues of violence against women in developing countries. And so I've done some work in the Philippines and in India and Bangladesh before coming to South Africa, and learned about the work of LVA, and really in particular the approach that they used. And that's what drew me here. So I came here to work for the organization.
How bad is it here? Have you seen some things that you've never seen before?
I mean, South Africa is an interesting context to be doing this work because on the one hand, you have very progressive laws and legislations that are very victim-centric, very expensive. Mm. And at the same time, you have some of the highest prevalence rates in the world of violence against women and children. And so what we see often every day is there's really a gap in the implementation of those laws. Mm. And state actors are not actually enforcing the laws in the way that they're meant to be enforced. And so that's the key role. That's really why LVA was founded, in order to fill that gap and to make sure that the way that the law is written is actually the way that it's experienced by the victim of violence.
Do you find that victims do not have faith in the law?
Yes. Yes. And you look at, I mean, especially around sexual violence, you look at reporting rates. And so the reporting rates are high. But I mean, there have been other studies that have been done that found, I think in Gauteng, 1 in 25 women will report their rapes. Mm.
1 in 25. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah. Depending on, I think it was 1 in 25 or 1 in 18, depending on who the
Who did the research.
Yeah.
Sure. SAP, South African Police Force, are they up to the task?
It's difficult, hey? So there's a specialized unit within SAPS that handles sexual violence crimes, but they're not based at every police station. They operate on a cluster system. So you'll have one unit that's responsible for handling all cases coming out of, in our case, 7 different police stations.
Sure.
So you have 15 people, let's say 15 officers, responsible for investigating and bringing witnesses to court and going to court. You know, there's not enough resources.
So when we know this as a fact, don't you think, with South Africa having such high prevalence right. Don't you think that the police force needs to move to, let's apply some logic here, should move to having a system like that at every single police station?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would
office.
It would be
station.
It would make a huge difference, because you have officers who are based in Roodepoort now traveling from, in our case, from Diepsloot to Randburg to Linden to
and
Florida.
This is why the communities don't even bother.
Mm.
Like, ek gaan nie nou van Diepsloot af Roodepoort te ry, whatever, om te gaan. What is some of the worst cases you've seen? I mean, is there a case recently that you can just use as an example? And the reason I'm asking you that is, maybe you're listening to these stories and you think to yourself, geez, I'm in a situation like this.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, tragically, we certainly are no strangers to horrific acts of violence. And so things like gang rapes, things like, you know, rape of small children, you know, women who've been living in domestic violence relationships mm-hmm. for years and even decades. And maybe now is the first time that they've come forward and trying to get help, trying to take that step. I mean, imagine the courage that it would take if you've been in an abusive relationship for 10, 15 years to take that first step to actually try and access the legal protection that the law affords.
Speaking of legal protection, there was a question that was raised. And the question was, what's the difference between a peace letter and a protection order?
So a protection order, it's an order from the court. And once if a protection order is in place and it's then violated, then that violation is actually a criminal offense. Mm. And so when you're granted a protection order, you're given a warrant of arrest, and you can take those to the police station and to say this order has been contravened or violated, and we're required to open a criminal offense, a case. A peace letter, on the other hand, it's a letter from the court, but it doesn't really have the same kind of weight. So if somebody basically, a peace letter is an instrument of the court to notify a person someone is making a complaint about you, and if you don't kind of stop your behavior, then further steps could be taken. So it's not, it doesn't have that.
So it's a warning shot.
Mostly, yeah.
So thanks for coming in, and all the best with 16 days and all the work after that. If you had to leave, let's say there's someone listening now, coming from a community that doesn't have infrastructure like this. Mm. They don't have lawyers against abuse. They are in those situations where their police station is not equipped to deal with those kinds of matters. What does one do? Is there an easy way, a phone number? How do you flag it?
Yeah, so there's actually a really great platform that's just been launched by the First for Women Foundation that LVA is partnering with, and it's called the For Women platform. So the website is for-women.co.za, and on that website, it includes numbers of hotlines, it includes information about organizations around the country that are working to address gender-based violence.
Does a website, is that a... I mean, does everyone have...
Yeah, not a lot of people have access to...
This is where... Remember the days of
internet.
Lifeline?
Yes.
And on every telephone hookie, you had to a Lifeline sticker.
Even the kids still know that. I still know that number. I still sync that number.
On your pencil box.
0800555555.
You see?
So you knew that.
Exactly.
Can I make a suggestion
then?
Is
there a simple number that...
Yes. So Lifeline, actually, I mean, they also run a gender-based violence hotline. And so that is the number. And so if you were to call them, then they could help connect you to a service provider in your area.
Oh. Just now, as we're talking, I'm thinking to myself, that'll be an actual service that we can do as a radio show, is put a number in a promo or something during this time.
Yeah.
And punt that.
Yeah.
Because people listen to the radio. People still access radio more than anything else in this country. That number, like you were just singing it now, that's the kind of thing. Websites are all good and well, but that's the way.
Yeah.
Stickers on, I don't know, bumper stickers or something, but because it's just horrific. Mm. I hear these stories and it's the sickos. We have to beat them.
Before we let you go, I just have to ask one question. Is it ever too late to report? If someone's listening now and they're going, I've said nothing for so long. Mm. Is it ever too late?
It's never too late to report, but I think even if you're not willing to, let's say, go to the police, maybe you're not ready to take that step, it's critically important that you talk to somebody, even if it's just a counselor, a therapist, a social worker.
Sure.
So you can start to address and unpack, you know, what's really going on for you. How has this abuse impacted you? Because a lot of victims of violence will feel like, you know, they'll feel like they're to blame, right? Mm. And that's a lot of the psychology of violence, where it's the sense of shame, it's the sense of guilt as well. I just want to go, just to say, the Tears Foundation, you mentioned not everyone has access to the internet. So the Tears Foundation runs, they also have like one of those SMS, a free SMS line.
Oh, that's good.
And then they will then also then connect you to the service providers
that's
in
good.
Your area.
Yeah.
So I can read the number now.
Yeah.
It's *134. *7355# and it'll use your kind of location in order to send
*134*7355# Okay, because every single person in this country has a phone. That is the truth.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. All the best and keep up the great work.
Great. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks.